PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Here we go. Spider-Man Far From Home spoiler bonus episode. You guys know the deal. When we go see these new movies, sometimes we decide to break it down for you, give you all the spoilers and deets, who lives, who dies, what are the twists, what are the turns, and what do we think about it. Drew Stackhagen, have we ever had such a tight turnaround on seeing a movie and then recording the episode?
No, I don't think so. Normally, we let it brew for a day or a couple hours or something.
We got out of this thing
less than an hour ago.
30 minutes ago. 35 minutes ago. Enough time to stop at a Publix and get some food, get some sustenance.
Eat it. And then start this.
Boozed up my coffee. Mm-hmm. I coffeed up my booze.
You coffeed up the booze.
You need a shot of vodka for that thing?
No, I'm
good. What are you drinking there, buddy?
Nope, just Red Bull.
Not just Red Bull. It's a yellow can. What is that?
It's Red Bull.
The yellow edition.
It is tropical flavored.
Oh, okay. Does it taste any better?
It tastes less like medicine.
This episode brought to you by Drinks That Taste Less Like Medicine.
Yes.
I know this episode was brought to you by our patrons. We appreciate it, guys. Here's our Spider-Man episode. I know a few people like to listen to these after they see the movies themselves.
Yeah.
That's how I prefer to listen to podcasts that talk about movies specifically. I prefer to watch the movie beforehand, unless it's something I've seen so many times.
It doesn't really matter.
That I can recall it. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need to re-see Die Hard to listen to people talk about Die Hard, right? Mm-hmm. But there are other people who... we'll listen to this in lieu of seeing the movie, because like, I'm not going to go see that movie, so I'll just listen to these idiots try to remember the sequence of events.
As best they can.
So we're going to do that.
Yep, we're going to try.
And obviously this thing is going to be popular. It's not like we're picking some obscure movie to talk about this week. It's on the heels of Endgame, like you said before, the movie. It's pretty much a direct sequel.
It is a direct sequel.
It references the Endgame.
Yep. Reference everything. All of it.
References all of it. All the way back to Iron Man.
I mean, even the first scene in this movie was one of the added scenes at the end of the Endgame re-release.
Which scene is that?
So how does Jake Gyllenhaal. When it opened, that scene where Kobe Smulders and Samuel Jackson are pulling up.
Murray Hill and Nick Fury. They pull up to some decimated town.
All of a sudden, the thing comes up.
Mexico.
Yeah. The big rock monster comes up.
Yeah.
You see Jake Gyllenhaal says, "You don't want any part of this." And then it cuts straight to Spider-Man.
Yes.
That was one of the added scenes of the...
Okay, so I know that Avengers was Endgame. I know that was an added scene. Yeah. Another added scene to the Endgame was a Hulk saving people.
Yep.
Professor Hulk.
And then talking at the end with his mouth not fully rendered.
Yes, and talking to a cop saying, "I got all here, officer." You know who that cop is? Played by Reginald Val Johnson, who's the cop Winslow from Family Matters, and he's also in Die Hard.
Oh, nice.
He plays a cop in both of those.
That's why I like to think that...
That was surely meta-casting.
The first day of Family Matters...
Is what the last
episode one? Episode one is him, coming home from Die Hard, and then it's all just following his life.
it's a different city. It has to be like a year later.
No,
it's like Harriet. We got to move from L.A. I can't live here.
I can't do this shit anymore.
I can see that tower every day now, Harriet. I'll get you a nice elevator job.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, because she's a spinoff from anyway. So weird. TV.
It was
so weird back in the day. So bad. Samuel Jackson, and already boom, with that scene, they're establishing this elemental thing. It's like a cyclone took this town apart. It's like, yeah, but it had a face on it. You know, they're reporting that it had a face. Yeah. And so that was the added scene, and then the Hulk thing. And then they also added one other little thing that was like, it's a glorified Blu-ray extra features that they added on to the re-release.
Whatever.
And that's why... It
was all money grab anyway.
And that's why it didn't work.
Which is fine. I am completely happy with the fact that it didn't work.
It didn't have to. It's such a meaningless thing.
If it did work, it would have shown just how gullible
people are. How dumb we are as consumers. Yeah.
Well, yeah. they even tap into that a little bit in this movie, Chris.
They do.
Slightly.
Mysterio's final words, well, finalish words, are very good. Because they always have to try to find a way to make this ring true somehow. Or should just watch it, a bunch of dummies with masks running around doing their shit, right? Mysterio intro, pretty cool, but then we've seen that in all the trailers over there. Him, he shows up with a green.
Exactly.
Throws his laser hands out there.
Doing his best Doctor Strange impression. I swear to God, those fucking, hand things, that's just leftover Doctor Strange footage they decided not to use.
Yeah, Doctor Strange renderings that they didn't need. Hey, guys, we have this green mist stuff.
Okay, let's use it.
Perfect. Mysterio, though, Mysterio would totally cop that for his arsenal, for his gimmick. So after he's like, "You guys shouldn't be here," he throws his laser hands. That's when it goes right to the intro, the Marvel intro.
Yeah, it goes into the Marvel intro and it's playing the Whitney Houston, "And I Will Always Love You." And
then it
cuts into an obviously a high school.
Oh my God.
the high school in remembrance of. And then the whole, like, the first 10 minutes is like a high school news show.
Like, not 10 minutes, four minutes.
There's a lot of explanation that goes on.
What a
and
smart,
it is quite funny.
What a smart bit of exposition. Amazing. Yeah. You have to marvel, no pun intended, when movies manage to give you a ton of information.
But in a smart, fun, original,
It's like, you don't notice that you're just being spoon-fed information.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not like the narrator just comes over and says all this stuff, or there's a title card, here, read this. No, we're going to have some fun with it.
It's, so like you said,
it's a high school newscast.
High school newscast, and it's a high school PowerPoint presentation of the fallen.
Yeah.
And it reminds you, these people are all gone.
Yeah, so you're not going to see them anymore.
Captain America is just really gone. He's not dead. He's just an old man now.
Yeah, yes.
But he's gone, though. Yeah, so there's no more Captain America, no more Iron Man. They cut to Iron Man twice. Yeah. No more Black Widow.
I'm sure they told the nation that Captain America was dead.
Yes, cover story.
Yeah.
Cover story. In the battle. Mm-hmm. The great battle.
Exactly, yeah.
Easy cover story.
He died in the battle. Don't worry about this old man.
Then they showed four people, and then they cut back to Tony Stark again. Yeah. So they show those four. And then that great two-hander of the two kids at the desk.
Yeah, where they're talking about the blip.
The blip, so that's a new name.
It's where not everybody comes... Dude,
it's no longer a snapping.
Yeah, so there was a snap and everybody knows about that. But then they talk about the blip, where everybody comes back. And that was probably the funniest thing, because they're watching a basketball game.
High school basketball game.
So first they show, like, it's band practice in the gym.
Yeah.
You see people start fading away because that was the snap.
And there's someone in the stands filming it with their phone. And it's kind of a horrifying thing.
Yeah,
kids start screaming. Everyone turns into the pepper.
You're exactly.
What is this?
And then the next shot is in the same gym.
Yeah.
All the kids coming back like nothing had ever happened. Like still in the middle of band camp. Fucking, there's a basketball game going on now.
Immediately
all of a sudden,
someone gets hit in the head.
Exactly. Immediately, boom, people are running into each other. And that goes me like... If that happened everywhere, like, people just showed up in, like, the middle of highways, like, splattered, dead, all of them. Like, how many people just died in, like, the misting?
People who were in transit in airplanes.
And just all of a sudden falling from the sky.
Yes.
Fucking, like, we don't see any of that.
Because
they don't even talk about it, but that totally happened.
It's a weird detail that they do brush over but that is a very funny joke. Yeah. That was a very good joke.
It was.
And now it's the blip.
Yes, the blip.
The snap was undone.
The snap was undone. So 5 years later, everybody came back. The people who were left,
yes,
haven't aged. People here on Earth who didn't get blipped, they've lived their lives. So they're 5 years older.
Yes, and we saw that in Endgame with Ant-Man's daughter. Now she's a teenager, right? Mm-hmm. In this one, they made a big deal about this kid Brad. Was that his name? Who before the snap, he was some little kid who got nosebleeds, mm-hmm. but 5 years later, he's all, like, grown into his own as a buff teen who's attractive and charming, and he becomes the, what do you call it, the rival.
Yes.
The rival for MJ's affections, mm-hmm. for Peter Parker, and drives a decent amount of that part of the plot for, like, a good hour of
For the Peter Parker plot,
yes. The Peter Parker loves MJ plot, trying to figure all that stuff out. I feel they lost a lot of ground by hiding the MJ thing weirdly in Homecoming and having him, like, obsess over another girl, and then at the end having this weird, like, "Oh, my friends call me MJ."
Yeah.
Like, that's so weird, like, hide and then reveal that amounts to nothing. And then in this movie, they can give it a proper "will they, won't they" type.
Exactly.
Thing, right?
Yeah.
Was that feel strange?
Well, they had to find a way to screw with the MJ character and not have all the fucking white nationalist fanboys freak out. Oh, my God, yeah. It's a color girl now.
Yeah, they were going to freak out anyway. Yeah, they're just trying to backdoor it in. So like, don't pay too much attention to this. Yeah. That it's Zendaya.
Yeah, exactly.
Like how apparently a lot of people are upset now about the Black Ariel.
The Little Mermaid thing. Yeah. I mean, it's...
It's the Little Mermaid.
Nobody cares.
No, and people are like,
and you know what?
I'm not racist, I just want to see my white mermaid.
I'm actually like, you know what? It's fucking time.
Yeah, why not? And then did they cast someone else black? At this point,
it doesn't matter.
At this point, let's just give me a whole Black Panther version.
The new hot Disney princess is fucking that Frozen bitch anyway, who's the fucking whitest white thing on the planet.
Elsa
so.
Is as white as it gets.
Yeah.
I haven't even seen Frozen.
No, exactly.
But the Frozen 2 trailer is pretty
good. But her skin is white, her hair is white, and her eyes are blue, which is fucking Zeke Heil, buddy.
Yeah, she's the Taylor Swift of Disney princesses. Yeah. Yeah, but Zendaya was, I think she did a good job. It's an interesting approach to this character. Rewrite of the character into a more like a Winona Ryder in Beetlejuice. I love the Macaw.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, more of a dark loner as opposed to like the popular girl.
Yeah, which would then theoretically make her more aligned with the nerd Peter Parker. Like, yeah, of course they would find each other. They're both like kind of socially on the edges anyway. They're not fully accepted. Although no one in that group, they're all out. That's the science class. Yeah, they're all a bunch of nerds. Yeah. No one likes Flash.
Yeah.
He's just there. Poor Flash. And his mom doesn't show up at the end.
It's fine.
Makes me feel sorry for the kid. Like, he just needs a friend.
I'm sure they'll set him up to be a villain eventually.
Well, he was, in the books, typically Parker's rival.
Nemesis, yes.
His school nemesis.
Yeah.
But
he was a jock.
Exactly. He's the jock to the nerd. Yeah. That old stereotype.
Exactly.
This one, he's more just like a rich kid.
Yeah.
He was jockey in the last one, but this one, he's just like...
He's just a rich asshole.
He's just hashtag flash mob, that kind of stuff. Yeah. I do like that kid, though. Pete Revolori?
No, yeah, he's a good actor.
He was in Dope, right?
Yes.
And then also, he's the Pete Ray Fiennes dude in
the
Hotel.
Grand Budapest Hotel.
Correct. I was testing you.
Yeah. He had that fake drawn on a little mustache. He's so cute.
That was cute. Now he's a dickhead. He's good. I like him. But yeah, I liked all the kids. Ned, bringing Ned back in his weird, like, on the spectrum-ish way of approaching life and...
Things.
And was that,
in general.
Is that Betty Brant? Was the other girl?
Oh, the blonde?
Yes.
I don't know. She was in that new season of Black Mirror. She was in the Miley Cyrus episode.
Oh, is she?
She's a girl obsessed with Miley.
I haven't watched that episode.
Yeah.
But it's the character... Because Betty Brant is another character who Peter dated for a minute, right? And think in the Tobey Maguire trilogy...
All I remember
it's
is,
played by Elizabeth Banks.
All I remember is Gwen Stacy and MJ.
Okay. There's also the... They had all of his ladies, and also the one ends up being Black Cat.
What's
her face? And she lived like across the hall from him. They were teasing all this stuff in those movies that they never got around to. All right, so we're talking about Far From Home.
Yeah,
in which Spider-Man is all like,
I want to go on a European vacation with my buddies.
I just fought this battle. It was crazy. We blipped. We had we're back. It's all good. Peter Iron Man is dead. We're all mourning Iron Man. But first, I'm going to do this charity event for Aunt May, because Aunt May is on... She's in on it now.
Yeah, she's in on it.
She found out at the end of the last one, of Homecoming.
Yeah.
So ropes him in into some charity event, poor Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's reporters there, and they're bugging him about, like, are you the next...
Iron Man? Are you like, the next Iron Man?
What about the Avengers? Are there even Avengers? Like, are you going to lead them? At the same time, Happy Hogan shows up. He's like, Nick Fury's trying to get a hold of you, and he's not answering Nick Fury's calls, which is, again, that's all. Well, this is all in the trailer. Yeah. It's all just set up. And he's ducking.
But what's not is that the Edith thing where he gives him the pair of glasses, which we find later.
We find out later that it's his Jarvis, which then...
It's Jarvis Light.
Jarvis Light. What was the other one that he did?
Vision?
Because after Jarvis evolved, and then he had a new system, a new heads-up system, and it's a lady voice. Mm-hmm. I forgot the name he used for that one. He gives him a gift from Tony. It's those pretty swank glasses. Yeah,
Edith stands for Even Dead, I'm the Hero.
Even Dead, I'm the Hero. Great ego. A lot of Tony Stark throughout this movie.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're...
Even Dead, the character, has the most influence on the Marvel...
That's kind of the way they set it up, though, with, the Iron Man, Peter Parker thing, where, like, he was kind of the father figure.
He was his mentor, yeah.
So, you know, obviously, it's... I mean... Marvel's always wanted Spider-Man to be the fucking crown jewel of every fucking empire they've ever built.
Especially because he broke out so big and got so popular in the 60s and 70s.
Exactly.
Like,
so
we got something special here.
So they've been trying to make Spider-Man fucking king of the goddamn Marvel Universe since, you know, six movies ago. But for five, they failed.
Well, yeah. You're talking about going all the way back to the
Sony months. Yeah, with
the original Sonys. That first Tobey Maguire one made so much money.
Yeah.
The first movie to make $100 million opening weekend.
I mean, before Marvel got on their own feet, you got to remember they were trying with other studios to get their properties to get on their own feet.
Yeah, and that's why they have like the amazing Spider-Man ride at Universal.
That's why that Sony deal thing went through. That's why Universal has all the rights to the
That's why they're still
stuff.
Doing Venom and all this other stuff, because even the offshoot stuff has value to them.
Especially without Spider-Man. Even more so at this point in time with the success of the rest of the MCU. That raises every single Marvel stock.
It really does.
Even the bad shit. It's just like, oh, okay, we'll check it out.
Now people get more willing to give things a shot, and it's crazy. It really is crazy. So this whole movie is then set up. Very obviously, it's like he doesn't want to be... It's a reject the call thing. It's like, yeah, I don't want
to
be
Exactly. He's rejecting the call to be the hero. Well, that needs... I mean, he... Like they say, he's a 16-year-old kid.
Yes, yeah, and he just wants to be a 16-year-old kid, and he just wants to. It's like Malia and the Obama kids.
Yeah, exactly.
We just want to be kids. Yeah. We don't have to be superheroes just yet. We'll grow up to be Obama superheroes, but right now we just want to go to school and stuff. Also, it was I'm sorry about it. There's this whole big thing. He has a nano suit, but he leaves the nano suit behind in that crazy little cryo chamber. It's like,
exactly. He leaves all of the suits behind because he wants to go. He just wants to go on his vacation.
But Aunt May, who knows he's Spider-Man, is like, you almost forgot your suit, so packs it for him and stuff.
Yep, gets flagged at the airport.
Very funny because he got flagged for the banana.
Yep.
And he was like, oh shit, they found my
and
suit.
And they open it up, exactly. They see the suit, says, you forgot this. They're just like, a stupid kid loves his Spider-Man.
Yeah, or even then, maybe they're just like dumb pajamas and like found the banana. You stupid dummy. Can't be bringing bananas from other countries. That's highly, highly illegal. Very frowned upon.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be doing that, Spider-Man. I thought he was a hero. Mm-hmm. Sneaking. I mean, that's bad. You got to declare the bananas at customs. I declare
bananas.
Now, if you eat the banana, it's in your digestive system. Then is that smuggling?
No, because you're digesting. It's not a banana anymore. Now it's your shit.
What if I vomit it up first?
Well, then it's your puke. They no longer consider it a banana.
All right.
Now it's human puke.
You know what? That's what the guy. That's what the guy told me before he handed me that baggie of pills. So, yeah. All right. Uh-huh. It's like, it is puke now. There's no longer drugs. There's no puke. You say.
Well,
you
no. Go. I mean, there's still drugs. There's still banana in your puke, which means there's still.
So highly legal bananas. I've smuggled the bananas across the border in my puke. That's a new method of smuggling.
Okay. Puke smuggling. Gotcha.
Puke smuggling. It's it's hard out there for smugglers. Peter Parker, Europe with his fam, with his friends, and it's a science class.
Yeah.
They even make a joke at the end about J.B. Smoove as like the least science.
They didn't do anything even remotely close to science on this trip.
There's like no science. I know you think it's crazy. There's no science on this science trip. J.B. Smoove was funny. Martin Starr, they're both funny as chaperones who are bad at their jobs.
Yes.
Lots of sources of comedy there.
Yes.
One guy doesn't even want to do nothing. Oh, I like the running gag about J.B. Smoove's character, whatever his name is, Mr. Something or Other, believing in witches and witchcraft.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He's like, I may be a science, this is witch.
Yeah.
This is witches.
It's like, as a man of science, I'm confident saying this is witches.
Yeah.
And then later it's revealed he's reading a book about witchcraft.
Uh-huh.
But when they get to Venice, everything's underwater for some reason.
Well, because Venice...
Do they know about that in Venice? Do they know that... That they're sinking?
I'm wondering if that was even a set, or if those wood planks on that hotel that might have been real. Chris.
I mean, they would have had to recreate that to have that much, those many people show up and have that much weight there. That would seem risky.
Yeah,
yeah, it's pretty Tom Holland's a sinking building.
But Siri, that is actually going on in Venice right now.
Yeah, Venice is bad.
Yeah, sea levels are rising. It's not good for that port city.
Our parents were there a few months ago.
Yeah.
Well, not a few months ago.
Yeah, no, their entire plazas that during high tide you can't go to because they're covered in water now.
You could scuba to them.
No, I mean, you could walk to them, but you're like knee deep in water.
Dry land's not a myth.
One of these days. Yeah. Hopefully we'll all grow, gills in our necks like fucking Kevin Costner did.
Ryan Ears. No, I'm going to go for the Dennis Hopper.
Oh, you're going to be the oil baron on the sea?
I'll be the oil baron on the sea.
How much are you going to have to find yourself a gimp to live in the oil? So,
oh, yeah.
So you can ask him how much is down there.
We're down to 4 feet. All right. I'm going to keep my eye on you. Good old Dennis Hopper. Rest in power, Dennis Hopper. How long? It's been like a decade since he's died. It's been a while. Wasn't this cancer of some sort, I believe?
I don't remember.
Man.
Anyway, this movie, Chris.
Oh, Dennis Hopper. So they're in Venice. They're hanging out. We get the first monster, the elemental water dude.
Yeah, water dude.
And he's like, fucking shit up. Things are being destroyed. Mysterio shows up.
And Tom Holland's like, shit, I got to help. I'll put up my web slingers. People are going to see my face.
So he puts on like a Mardi Gras, random Mardi Gras mask. No. But he's still just wearing it in his clothes. Like, yeah. It's still clearly him. Whatever. Doesn't matter. And he tries to help. He just helps like buildings from falling over at times.
He basically uses his webs to move people away and to stop buildings from crumbling on top of other people.
Wow, Mysterio flies around. Psh, 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 mm-hmm. Green lasers fighting this this big old elemental water thing. Guy who's supposed to be, it's not him, but it's based on Hydro Man.
Yeah.
He's Hydro Man. The dirt dude in the beginning, it was essentially Sandman. And Molten Man is the name of the fire guy. But
they're just called Elementals in this.
Because they're just like, he explains later. Yeah.
Well, and the next scene.
Yeah, and after the scene. He's like, thanks for helping me out, kid, or whatever. And they all meet up with Nick Fury.
He explains. They don't meet up with Nick Fury. They're going, which this part's in the trailer, where Tom Holland and his Asian buddy walk through the room.
Yes.
And then Asian buddy drops because Nick Fury's sitting there with a fucking stun gun. Just
trank
like,
them.
What up, bitch?
He's like, you are a hard person to get a hold of. Yeah. And then they point out that it's their first time meeting, which is very funny after all these movies. Mm-hmm. It is Tom Holland's fifth time as Spider-Man.
Yes.
And it's their first time meeting in these movies. And he's like, yo, we need your help about shit, obviously.
And it's like, hey, we needed you to be here. And go figure, you're here. He's like, oh, so you already hijacked my class trip. And he's like, I'm fucking Nick Fury, dude. That's what I do.
And then that's the whole thing. That's a running gag also of the movie. Yeah. Every time the class trip gets in the way, Nick Fury just reroutes them. It's like, have the bus pick him up here. Yeah. Have them
have this guy be the new bus driver.
Yeah, Dimitri's new bus driver. Book him in this hotel, et cetera, et cetera. He removes all the obstacles for him. And so that's where he takes him to meet Beck, Quentin Beck, a.k.a. Jake Gyllenhaal, a.k.a.
Mysterio.
Manu de Mysterioso, or whatever they were saying in the...
They were in Italy at the time.
In the Venetian broadcast. And he's got that crazy-looking suit with all the lights on it, and the big old cape, and he presents himself as, like, I'm a dude from another Earth.
Multiverse.
The multiverse. This is Earth 616, et cetera, et cetera.
I really enjoyed how Tom Holland had a little, had like a super nerd moment there, where he goes, like, all in-depth.
About the singularity.
About
and
the singularity
stuff.
And quantum physics and this and that and the other.
Yeah.
Because... You gotta realize when, I mean, people are like, is he the next Tony Stark? I mean, in all reality, Peter Parker and Tony Stark probably had the same intellect.
Yeah, that's
right,
what sets them apart from other people.
All on the level with, like, Reed Richards and all that. I'm like, no, people are always like, because the Spider-Man movies never made a point of that, except for in the beginning of the movies when he goes to get bit by the spider. So they're like, oh, he needs to be science-y here. And then after that, it's just superhero.
Right.
But Peter Parker's a fucking... genius.
He's extremely, extremely smart.
Yeah.
Yes, correct. They don't lean into that enough in these movies.
Yeah.
And then he does have a nerd out moment where he's like, he understands the ramifications.
All of it. He understands all of it.
The implications and ramifications of that immediately, and it frightens him. And Quentin Beck, a.k.a. Jake Gyllenhaal, gives the whole, here's the world.
This is what happened to my Earth.
Yeah,
I'm here to save yours.
I'm here to save yours. He has a PowerPoint presentation. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
which is a lot better than the high school one.
Yeah, dude. Man, those high school kids really got to step up their game. If they saw that shit, like, man, we fucked up. I like the joke where the Getty Images thing popped
came
up.
Yeah.
That was funny. It's like Getty Images. Oh, there we go. A little gassy. And so he's like, there's going to be a fire one. I like this concept. The fire elemental that gets its power, its firepower from like metal and stuff. It grabs metal and
so
it, and it builds
metal.
Up and it gets bigger. And
because then it'll
big
harness
enough,
the power of the Earth's core and destroy the world.
Yeah, if it gets big enough, it can get to the Earth's core. Like, ooh, that's intense. Because that's what happened to my Earth, and I got stopped from happening to yours. And so this happens in Prague, right?
Yes.
Right, and he's just chilling on the rooftop. That's where he has his little moment with Mysterio on the rooftop where he's like, I'm scared, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. He's like, I got you, buddy. And he's acting sort of like a mentor. Kind of filling in that Tony Stark void that Happy Hogan can't provide, and Nick Fury is too gruff and cynical to provide, right?
Yeah.
And so Mysterio's there, he puts his hand on his shoulder, he's like, it's going to be okay, kid, give him that old speech.
And then Fire Monster Fight,
pretty good fight, it happens on the carnival, there's this whole bit about... They had him booked. Peter Parker had his class booked for an opera for 4 hours to keep him off the streets, but some of them sneak out anyway because this is a movie. We need people to be in danger, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how MJ can get out. That's how his friends can be in peril and Spider-Man can save them.
His friends are in peril. MJ can spy on him and see that Spider-Man gets his, gather her clues for the.
Get her plot device.
Pick up a plot device that helps keep things in motion later, correct? Absolutely. Without that plot device, the whole movie would have.
There is no movie. It's a very important plot device, Chris.
Very, very important that randomly happened at that moment. And, but it was the carnival looked cool.
Mm.
It was like, I don't know.
Festival of Lights,
on
dude.
A hill and the rides and people in masks. Music. Ding, 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 ding. I could do that.
It's very cool.
Yeah, okay, fun. Yeah. In Prague? Do that in Prague?
I don't know.
They should do that here in Orlando.
I'm sure they do it somewhere.
We should do it in Maitland.
Mm-hmm.
Right around Lake Lily. Oh, it's just called
a lot of money.
It's just called a farmer's market. Let's just do a farmer's market takeover where we show up with Mardi Gras masks and have a parade and around the lake.
And just go, woo! Yeah. And hope Spider-Man and some elemental monsters come.
That'd be awesome. They can use the Lake Lily. Like, holy shit. So they battle the big old fire thing. There's lots of destruction and things are blown up everywhere. And it was weird. It did feel like I knew. I was like, obviously there's something coming because it felt like a big final movie, end of the movie fight. Like, this is the end of it all. But I could feel
it. But it was like so early in the movie.
Yeah, I was like, we were maybe halfway through the movie.
Well, man, here was my thing. Once that fight happened, Mysterio tried to sacrifice himself.
He's
for the greater good.
He's like, I got to do what I did the first time. And
he said, what I should have done.
What I should have done the last time.
Yeah.
And he powers himself up all crazy, flies into the middle of the monster.
It all explodes. And then he's sitting there just like barely hanging on like, I survived. Like, oh my God, I survived.
Right. Yeah, precisely.
Exactly. And at that point in time, I'm like, okay, this is finally the turn because Mysterio's a bad guy.
Yes.
The fact that and all the marketing and everything, he's a good guy. I'm like, Mysterio's not a good guy, man. Like, he has to turn. He's got to go heel at some point. Yes. So once that happened, I was like, maybe this is when he turns heel, because I knew that Mysterio was the villain the whole time.
Yes, he had to be the villain because he's traditionally a villain.
Yeah.
It'd be like if you made a movie and Joker's a good guy for the first hour. It's like, well, he's going to be the Joker. No,
exactly, yeah.
Like, when's he gonna Joker out?
When's he going to make that fucking turn?
Yeah, it's like you're watching a movie where Joker's like, oh, that's fine, Batman. We're working together on this one. You're like, oh, okay.
This is going to be fucked up and weird.
Yeah, and then there's a few things like, okay, I mean, he seems to be on their side.
No?
Yeah, you're right. So. Mysterio is Mysterio, and you're waiting for the turn. It's like, when's it going to happen? Is it going to be something that forces his hand and warps him, or is he a good guy trying to be good? But then shortly thereafter, after the whole, and then we even skipped over the whole thing with the Edith and the glasses, and when he gets it programmed and he tries to, he gets that picture of him. That was like a weird side plot.
It was a
weird
side plot. I mean, but it was just kind of to show off Edith. Edith didn't really even come into like being like super cool until the next part where the big Mysterio reveal where he finally gets Edith.
Yes, and then we find out because Edith is hooked up to all Tony Stark's like Stark Industries armaments and satellites
shit up
and
in
drones
space and all and sorts of.
He can just be like, pick that person, kill that person's dead, yeah. And Edith like don't give a fuck because Edith's just a robot with no morals.
Yeah.
The
depending on you for the morality.
Yeah, exactly. That's a scary thing when we think about the future of our world, and so. He is, after that elemental battle with the fire monster, he's chilling. Mysterio's like, let's go get a drink. I just died. Go get a drink.
I'm not 21.
It's like, it's fine. You drink some lemonades and I'll hold his beer.
And that's when the whole taking over the father thing, the whole Tony Stark thing happens.
Yeah, because he's like, the note said, for the real Iron Man or for the next Iron Man, I trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And he was thinking then that meant that Tony Stark wanted to give the glasses to the person who would be the next Iron Man. And he's like, you're such a good fighter. You could be the next Iron Man. I want you to have these glasses. Mysterio's like, no, you can't do this. I don't want this. You know, he keeps begging off. Because he's like, he wants it.
Yeah.
So he's begging off. No, don't give it to me.
No, but I have to because I want to go back on my trip and have fun with my friends.
Yes, because Peter Parker's so selfish. This little dumb shit. He's given all these responsibilities and powers. And then he's like, no, I just want to kiss a girl at the top of the Eiffel Tower.
Yep.
You dumb idiot. We all want to kiss a girl at the top of the Eiffel Tower. It doesn't mean we get what we want, you fucking moron. You're Spider-Man. Go be Spider-Man. But he's like, no. I'm going to take these glasses. I'm going to give them away to this handsome man with this great beard and this cool suit with lights on it.
Yes.
And then he leaves to go kiss a girl.
And it all
and then he gets the reveal.
Fades away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was happy that they went with Mysterio's traditional powers.
Which is the power of misdirection and illusion.
Misdirection and illusion. He basically plays with your head and alters your reality. Like whatever.
Yes.
He just messes with your head.
Yes.
And makes you think and see and experience things that are not real.
And somehow in this one, they don't explain how he gets so well into Peter's thought. I guess just from hanging out with him all that time. And
maybe.
He was able to put together some sort of psych profile with his little team.
Some sort.
But he was able to really fuck with them in a way that was awesome. Like you said, it was altering his reality all around him.
Yeah, exactly. But they did it with drones and holographic technology. So it was all science, just regular tech-based.
Drones, holograms, and camouflaging.
Yeah.
So it is then revealed that the way... And then I was like, but then... I had the same questions they were having in the movie at the same time. And I was like, well, what about all the destruction? And then Peter Parker was like, well, we have all the destruction. So there's the drones have guns on them, and they're all cloaked, so you can't see them, and they're projecting holograms. So there are tons of them. How many?
Hundreds.
At the end, almost 1,000, it seems like. It's crazy how many to get the big monster. To project the monsters, the drones, they cloak up.
Mm-hmm.
They project the monsters, and then when they do the choreographed fight stuff, they just blow up whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever's in the way for it to be destroyed, they just use fucking guns.
They just use their guns and explosives and whatever they got, and they blow it up. It's like, man, that's pretty smart.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good way to
And work. The sonic wave things that they have, too.
Yeah, the boom. Yeah. That's really good. Yeah. And then later, when the fight at the end, you see like the drones underwater blowing stuff up.
Above water, flying around, how it all works.
But yeah, we get to be in on how it works then towards the end after we get that reveal, which is then a cool, fun element, I thought, of the movie. Now, this scene, I was like, I understood the scene. I get why it's happening, but it's still, as opposed to the exposition dump in the beginning with the telecast, the high school telecast and all that stuff, and the blip and the fun way of catching people up with that. Jake Gyllenhaal's speech at this bar to his little team felt like so forced. Like, now we have to stop the movie and explain to everyone in the audience right now, this is what's happening.
Okay. Because we didn't talk about this any other time but right now.
Yeah, now this is the first time we have to introduce all these things that are now changing the course of the rest of the movie. So stop. Re-explain the movie. All right, now we can move back forward with the movie with all these characters. And then at least two of them seemingly pulled from... No, only one of them. They flashed
pulled from
back.
Other movies, yeah.
Yeah, one dude was in the first Iron Man.
One guy was in Captain America.
And one guy was in Captain America. Very funny that they went and did that. But they are all essentially rejected Stark Industries employees, disgruntled employees.
Who didn't like Tony Stark and all his power.
And they banded together. What was it? He was saying something about... They knew about Edith and they wanted Edith. But he was like, it can't go to Nick Fury and it can't go to Spider-Man. Like, we have to have it so we can be in control. Mm-hmm. We're going to be the next Iron Man.
Yeah.
Like, his... I don't know. I guess he... So he's just trying to set himself up as the next... superhero of the world,
he's just a megalomaniac. Power.
Just for power? But then how did he convince the rest of the people to work with him to achieve his goal?
Doesn't matter, Chris. Man. They're only around for one movie, and fucking Jake Gyllenhaal dies at the end of this shit.
Nah, one of them. Jake Gyllenhaal dies. I have a problem with Marvel's propensity now to kill off their villains.
Well, I mean, in all reality, I think... I mean, it's better than what they did in the comic books, just letting them come back and come back and come back and keep wreaking the same fucking havoc month after month, year after year.
Yeah, sure. I sure understand that. You can come back for at least a movie, one movie, before you dispose of them so succinctly, you know?
Well, here's the thing.
I was enjoying the villainous Mysterio.
Well, the problem with the problem with the bad guys is a lot of the times bad guys are tied to... you're not following the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
You're following the good guy.
Right.
You care about the good guy and what happens to him.
Right.
The villains are drop and go. You get one for every movie. There's mm-hmm. no... In order for Mysterio to come around, they got to sign Jake Gyllenhaal. And for how many years until they decide to make another movie that feature that may or may not feature Mysterio?
Yeah, that's true. You would think maybe have a movie in between them, right? Because they still have Vulture still alive. And they introduced Scorpion in Homecoming, too. And neither of those characters are in this movie.
Well, here, I mean, just the logistics of rehiring these people. You know, when you sign on the hero for Spider-Man, Tom Holland, we just gave you a however many movie deal. Now we got to fill in the villains. Because we're not following the villains.
And he's already on his fifth movie.
And it's not a monthly comic series, so things have to be done differently.
Well, they're doing it differently then, for sure, by introducing the character and then killing him by the end. And this one, he wasn't even a villain until halfway through. Okay. At least a fully, like, openly,
He wasn't an open villain. He was a closeted villain before.
He was a closeted villain, but then he came out of the villain closet, and then he became openly, then he was sucking all the heroes' dicks. I like the scene where they were, choreographing the final battle.
Yeah.
And he was like, I want this to happen, speed it up, double up this.
Double the damage.
And I was like, oh, this is cool. It's funny. Show them also.
Yeah,
like,
this is the way they're doing it.
And then also, then you get a hint of his desire for control and power.
And what he's willing to do to get it.
Yes. And he's like, I'll have the drones like point their guns at the people that are helping him and be like, I'll kill you. Don't make me kill you. I have to kill you. And this is right around the time...
Unlike killing Peter Parker, you are.
And yes, you're exactly. The Peter Parker's blood's on your hands. Yeah. And this is right around the time when they're like, we got it. Our trip is over, Peter. We got to go back home. Everywhere we go, monsters come up out of the ground.
Yeah.
So our parents want us home. So him and MJ sneak off. He has this whole thing.
He wants to have a romantic moment.
Which he's like, I got to kiss the girl. I'm going to kiss the girl.
Exactly.
I mean, I get it.
And she's all like...
I was 16
once. You're Spider-Man.
Yeah, and she was like... I know, you're Spider-Man. And he's like, what? No, yeah.
Then she got a plot device.
And then she's like, well, then how come the Night Monkey? I like how Ned calls him Night Monkey, and then that sticks in forever.
Yeah, on the radio.
There's a guy named Night Monkey in Europe. It's like, how come Night Monkey and Spider-Man, they both had the same webbing stuff, and she pulls out the thing that she picked up during the battle, and it's covered in the web stuff, in the webbing, and...
Peter's all like, and then drops it.
Because
he's nervous, and then it sets off, and they see the big monster.
And swirling around them, they get scared for a second, and then it blips off, and they realize, oh, it's a projector.
And then he's like, wait a minute, I am Spider-Man. We need to go fix this. I fucked up real bad.
I fucked up by giving Edith to this bad dude who tricked us all. And then there's a fun thing for the rest of the movie at this point where at least a couple times Peter... gets all caught up within an illusion.
Yes.
You know, Mysterio has something set up and things break down in a scene and things happen and then it turns out, oh, it's all been an illusion the whole time. And there's at least once or twice where that got me good.
Well, no, and here's the thing.
I have to think back, like, oh, wait, so then that means that was fake.
And that was the thing about Mysterio. That's why I really enjoyed how they did it in the movie, where they're making you question what the fuck is going on even in the movie itself.
Yes, exactly. Like, whoa. I mean, even...
And they always do that in the comic books, too, where, you know, because the way comic books are, it's just panel, panel, panel. So when things switch, like, in your head, you don't know until the big reveal, and then it gets
here. It's all been a trick all along.
Uh-huh.
So he goes to, he gets picked up. He swings out to Berlin, because he knows Fury's in Berlin. He's like,
picked up with Fury.
I got to tell Fury, who's playing to me with Mysterio anyway.
Fury picks him up, and then they have the whole fake, oh my God, we're in trouble.
Well, he takes them to the office building. He's like, let me talk to you. It's like, wait until we're somewhere secure. Takes them to an office building. There's a bunch of people there. They walk in. They start talking. And then it's revealed all this shit was fake. It's all Mysterio. And like first they see Fury get shot, and then Spider-Man's fighting.
And then that weird surreal thing where he's like fighting in his own head, but
that's when you start getting that stuff. So this is a sequence then where it gets really weird, where he starts like... running around, and it's almost a Doctor Strange level of like visuals in terms of like altered reality, but then he's bumping into things and hitting things because he's bumping into the real world. I liked where at one point he was looking at a reflection of himself in front of a building, and then like a giant Mysterio's fist came crashing through and punched him, and then he went flying out a window, and then it cuts to him falling,
but then boom, immediately like hits the ground mid fall because he's actually he only felt like a story.
But and then it cuts to like the suit that he's wearing, and he's on a fucked up car, and it's because he like fell quote out of the illusion, like away from the drones or whatever. I was like, oh man, that's really good. And then there was a funny moment where I think it's that same, yeah, it's that same sequence there. So what's happening is Mysterio wants to know who else he told about the projector.
Well, and then the funny,
so he can tie up all the loose ends.
But then, like you said, at the very end, like there's a fake saving of the day.
Yes,
where Mysterio. He's about fake shoots himself.
with Nick Fury.
Yeah, with Nick Fury. Has Peter tell the fake Nick Fury exactly who knows, and then the big reveal again. Hey, I'm actually Jake Gyllenhaal.
The whole time.
You're still in the illusion, man.
I felt like a dummy because I was like, they shot him, he went down. I was like, oh, that was weirdly easy.
Yeah.
And it's like, you got to tell me who else knows. And then it reveals himself. I was like, oh, God, I'm so stupid. I'm so stupid. How did I... I'm not paying attention to like the timing, and of course that was all an illusion. It was really good. It was fun. I liked the visuals, and then he used, like you said, he uses people's like fears or whatever against them, against themselves, and it was really cool how they plausited all that, and they came up with the Jerome thing, and I was like, damn, this works. And then around this time it's also revealed that, right, is this when they show Mysterio in the gray... No, in the warehouse when he's practicing.
Oh, where is it? Where is
the motion capture suit.
The motion capture suit?
Oh, yes. My God.
He's just straight up in his mocap suit.
Yes.
Just like, this is part of the movie.
I'm a villain in a mocap suit. At the end, he's like fully villainous mocap suit. Yeah. Oh, my God. That was very funny.
It was.
This dude just wearing his pajamas. Yeah. It makes more sense than a Spider-Man suit.
It does.
Oh, and there's also the whole part where, like, he's in the Netherlands after... Well, no, this... So this
how nice the Dutch people
this
are.
This is what happens here, right? So at this part, he finds out that he told a couple other kids. Mysterio tricks them into getting hit by a high-speed train.
Yep.
He
survives.
He survives because he's Spider-Man. He wakes up in a jail in the Netherlands.
Some
and he finds
Dutch
out
hooligans helped him out.
Dutch hooligans, like, gave him a shirt. Like, you seem cold, so you can shirt. And they're very sweet.
Yeah, and they all speak English.
And it's like,
how do you speak English? Wait, you guys are all so nice, and you all speak English.
Yeah,
where am I?
Your English is really good.
You're in the Netherlands.
Netherlands. I go. Yeah, they're very. Everyone in the Netherlands are
Dutch
very
are very nice.
The Dutch are great people. Yeah, they are exceedingly nice people.
I can't wait to go see them soon.
Yeah, you're going, right? Yeah, awesome. And he contacts Happy Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
John Favreau shows up in a jet.
In a tulip field.
In a tulip field with a windmill in the background, just in case you weren't sure. I'm surprised there also wasn't a coffee shop in the foreground, too, and some guy smoking a joint. Like, hey, I'm an American on vacation here, bro. Where are the hookers at? Oh, yeah, Netherlands. And that's where he has a moment with him where he's like, I'm going to reject the call. I'm the hero. This is the part where I say no. And Happy Hogan's like, no, you're the hero. This is the part where you say yes. And Peter Parker's like, yes, you're right. I'm going to say yes. And then he goes to the back of the plane.
I got to go do some Tony Stark genius shit real quick.
Where I design my sweet ass suit.
Mm-hmm.
And he designs a new suit. So he wears like four different suits in this movie.
Yeah.
He's got the Iron Spider one in the beginning, which he barely uses. That scene in the trailers where he stops a robbery and then tells some fat cops that he's doing their job. That's all
not
cut out.
Not even in the movie.
Not even in the movie. He's got his normal suit that Aunt May packs for him. He's got the black stealth suit, the Night Monkey suit.
Night Monkey.
And now he's got his new final suit at the end with the wings.
With the wings and the electroshock stuff.
The electroshock stuff, which is pretty... That's pretty cool. That worked out well for his battle with the drones.
That's probably why he did it.
That's exactly why he did it, because he knew he went in there with a game plan, which was getting inside the illusion. Which
yes.
Which was, that's a good idea. You got to get behind the curtain. So he has this whole thing, Mysterio has this whole thing where they're in London, and they're going to stage another gigantic attack. What do you call it? An Avengers
level? An Avengers level event.
Avengers level event. AVE.
An ale.
An ale. Thank you. Correct. An ale. He's going to have
An ale.
He puts on an ale and...
He's going to go to England and have an ale.
We'll go to London, I'll have a quick ale, and then I'll be in charge and make me a new Tony Stark. I'll eat it. It's all good. And then what's the game plan after that? I don't know.
Figure it out.
I'm in charge. It's great. Me and Nick Fury.
Yep.
Hang out. What is the game plan, Mysterio, you weirdo? And you illusionist, you master of illusion. He has his team. I like the moment where... So that like the monster, first monster comes up, it's gigantic. It's right at the London Bridge, right? And so people run around. The kids are on the bus. They get off the bus, they're running. They run down a thing. And as they go past the corner, I thought I saw in the background, like, is there a guy just... like leaning against the wall, like very chilling, just leaning against the wall. Like, is he even smoking a cigarette? I swear there's a guy just leaning against the wall smoking a cigarette. And then later, Mysterio's like talking to, he's having a conversation with Nick Fury, and he's like, he needs dialogue.
Yeah, and it's that guy. He's like, hang on. He's just reading the script. Here, say this.
Yeah, he's just leaning line! Against the wall. He's going through a script. Yeah, Mysterio just yelled line, and he gave him the line, and he's talking to Nick Fury over the comms. While the battle's happening and people are seeing Mysterio flying around, but that's part of the illusion.
Yeah.
He's really like on the bridge tower thing.
Yep, just chilling.
Just chilling.
With some drones.
In his mocap suit, but still with the dome on.
Yeah.
Which is a very funny look. I enjoy it very much. And Spider-Man shows up with Happy Hogan on the airplane, jumps in, gets into the illusion where he's between all the drones, so he's behind him essentially.
Yep. So he and then it's his drone slaughter party.
Which is very funny. He goes around just jumping on all of them, webbing them all up together. And then he jumps all the way down, hits his electromagnetic thing, and it zaps a whole bunch of them, fucks them up, and the illusions pretty much starts falling apart.
Yep.
So then they're just like, shut down the illusion so everyone can just see the drones anyway. Mysterio's like, I'll just explain it later. You can write that in your script when you know your villain's going to die anyway. He doesn't have to explain it later.
Yeah.
So you can just make these rash decisions and you can go with it. So they shut down the illusion and they're trying to reboot it behind the scenes. This guy you're going to see again, the reboot guy.
Yeah.
Because he like took some shit from the computer and disappeared.
And you find out what he did with that shit.
What did he do with it? I wasn't paying attention.
The end of the movie, Chris. The last scene after
was
the credits.
That's what he was doing? Okay. I didn't put it together. I didn't put those two things together. Okay, so yeah, he took a bunch of shit off the computer at the very, very end after like Peter... He fucks up all the drones. He gets on the bridge.
After he saves the day.
He has a confrontation with Mysterio. Yep. They have a good old save the day confrontation. All worked out very well.
Yep.
He got Edith back. That was very funny when Mysterio reveals that he has the glasses.
Hey, so he's just chilling right here.
Yeah, he has the program uploaded to a system, his comms. He can access Edith no matter what, but he still has the glasses right there. And they haven't broke in his skin-tight mocap suit. Like, that's very cute. I guess Peter has got to get those glasses somehow.
Exactly.
He can't just grab a drone and talk into it. I mean, they're not... Anyway.
Edith,
you can hear me? She's like, yeah, of course. There's microphones everywhere.
Come on.
This is AI. And so he has a save the day thing. It's a good battle. He mentions where he has to be like, he sets up this whole thing where his Peter Tingle isn't working anymore. Yeah.
And they call it a Peter Tingle, which is weird.
They keep calling it the Peter Tingle, and at the end he's like, I'm not trusting my Peter Tingle, so it's a very ED thing.
Yeah.
Maybe John Watts is going through some stuff, the director of the movie.
Perhaps.
He's like, I gotta work
on my Peter Tingle.
I gotta work on my Peter Tingle. In the end, I just gotta believe in my Peter Tingle, and it'll come through for me in a strong, swift, and erect manner.
Yes.
And he uses it to then bust through...
The illusion.
Mysterio's illusion.
He does it like fucking Daredevil style, basically blind.
Yeah, he does. He closes his eyes for the most part, and he's jumping around there, and... That's cool. It was fun.
Yeah.
Probably would have been pretty cool in the 3D.
Mm-hmm.
The whole movie, the way of it's set up.
Yeah, especially with the flying drones around. Like, I'm sure that was very immersive. Like, you probably felt like you were inside.
Yeah, inside the illusion and stuff. Mm-hmm. And for sure, I could see why during the credits the 3D conversion was like. Here are these three different companies that worked on the 3D conversions of this movie. And so he defeats Mysterio, he gets Edith back, he shuts down all the drones, they all go flying away, and it all seems to be good. Him and MJ have a moment, mm-hmm. they embrace, he gives her the broken Black Dahlia flower jewel that he got in Venice.
Yeah. They kiss.
They kiss awkwardly. It's very cute.
Couple times.
It's very sweet. It's a sweet little moment. Well earned, I thought, after everything that they went through and all this stuff. I guess it's good to see the Parker MJ relationship. That's one of the things that's kind of lasting about the Spider-Man mythos anyway. So we get to see some of that in whatever the next movie is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Senior year of high school.
Whatever.
And it'll be Spider-Man prom. Homecoming, Far From Home.
Prom.
Either that or graduation.
Neither of those sound very good. Let's figure something else out.
Marvel, do not hire us for this, Marvel. That's a bad idea. Don't do that. They kiss, they're all good, we be boyfriend, girlfriend now, it's gonna be fun, and,
Let's go home,
they go home, they get back, May picks them up, everything seems to be good, he's swinging around, I like the joke where he's like, let's go do something, and he's swinging her, around, and she's like, ah, she's screaming like, I hate this. This is terrible.
Yeah.
Because every time, in all the other movies, MJ takes right to it.
Yeah. Fucking loves that shit.
Kirsten Dunst is practically ejaculating all over Peter Parker as they're swinging around. This Zendaya,
she hates it.
She's freaking out. Yeah. Very funny. I thought it was good stuff. Did you notice the sign in the background behind them when he went to pick her up for the swinging? There was a big sign in one of this on the when they're back in New York City, swing around a bit. He goes and meets up with her as Spider-Man, and there's like an MTA bus transit sign, and it's four circles, 1, 2, 3, and then a question mark with arrows to each one, and it says, "We can't wait to show you where we're going."
Okay, yeah. Gosh, that's definitely phase 1, 2, 3.
And then, the question mark for phase 4. We can't wait to show you where we're going. So they
Which we find, because the get scene two. You're talking about there, that one, no, because that was the mid-credit scene that you're talking about.
Well, yeah, so that's
because he picks up MJ.
That's the very end of the movie. You see that sign, he picks up MJ, they go screaming, she's like, she's freaking out, and then it's a swing, and then it's credits.
Yep.
And then when it comes back, it cuts back to her screaming, back in mid-swing, and then he lands.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I ain't doing that again.
And then it's the reveal.
The big reveal where he's like, I'm a dip out of here. This was a good scene.
Yeah. That's where the dude went. That's what he did. That's what he was doing.
That's what he was doing. These scenes were good. I thought they were... I understand now why people were enjoying them. So the dude who ran off, the dude from Iron Man who ran off with that data...
Yep.
Apparently sent it to dailybugle.net.
Fucking deep faked that shit. They did some deep fakes and gave it to Alex Jones.
Because what did Mysterio say when he was dying? People will believe anything.
Yeah,
He was laying out his ethos there at the end, and he was like, "Give some people believe in because they'll believe anything or whatever.
They'll believe anything these days."
And then as he was, I was like, "Damn it, man! I'm really enjoying Mysterio, and now he's dead." And so they do a deep fake. Huge double reveal. Number one, Daily Bugle. It's a thing where you don't ever see this. Doesn't happen in real life. Where they're like in Times Square, and then the audio kicks in for a giant.
Alex Jones hops in from InfoWars, like, ah!
Except it's our Alex Jones. It's our version of Alex Jones. It's fucking J. Jonah Jameson, played by the returning J.K. Simmons, which is awesome. Yeah. It's very cool. And he's like, oh, we got this
video. He's the best J. Jonah.
He's the best. He's perfect casting. And it's like, we got this video, and it's Spider-Man, and it's all his fault. And then it's Mysterio talking to the camera, being like, first, like, it's Peter Parker's fault. It's Spider-Man's fault.
Spider-Man's the bad guy. He's the one who killed everybody.
And then they show some of the footage of him trying to shut down the...
It's the footage of him shutting it down, but they repurposed it.
They repurposed it. They reframed it, and it made it sound like he was actually doing the execution of people. And then at the end, he's like, and his identity is Peter Parker. And, and Spider-Man's watching. He's like, oh, fuck. So big departure from the whole Spider-Man thing where... it was a big deal during the Civil War comics. Because
that was what started the Civil War in the comics, was Peter Parker taking off his mask.
And revealing his identity. Yeah. So, like, that was one of the most closely guarded secret identities in the Marvel universe, comic book-wise. And they stuck with that with the movies. So now for this movie to be, like, at the end of the last one, May knows. At the end of this one... Well, during this one, also Ned knows. And then during this one, MJ finds out, which had to happen anyway. But at the end, now everyone's going to fucking know.
Yeah.
Unless they do a way to like try to convince everyone it's not him. That's all.
Fake news.
That's like, hashtag fake news. Peter Parker just walking around like, hashtag fake news, guys. What? It's fake news. Right. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not Spider-Man. I'm just a regular man. I don't even like spiders. And that was a good... I was like, oh, shit. So that's the direction of Spider-Man, right? We got the returning J.K. Simmons. Now we got the idea of Spider-Man number one menace.
Exactly.
He's been running with that. That's a fuel for that. And then he's got to deal with this whole now, everyone knowing that it's him, it's Peter Parker. And it's similar, that kind of is, it's interesting that the end of, so this is the end of the Infinity Saga, which started with Iron Man. At the end of Iron Man, he's like, I am Iron Man. Mm-hmm. I'm all about it. And then at the end of this one, at the end of the saga, they're Spider-Man.
Like, he is Peter Parker. And he's like, no, shit.
And he's like, fuck, I'm fucked.
And there's a whole bunch of credits. A
whole bunch of credits. So there's about 83 minutes worth of credits. I went and did some shopping. Had a sandwich. Mm-hmm. Took a nap. Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool.
Came back.
Sat in my seat.
End credit scene
where... all right, so they mentioned this earlier where Nick Fury and Maria Hill, they're walking and they're about... I can't remember why they're about to get contacted about. Like, Spider-Man's about to hit them up. But they're like, other people aren't supposed to know about the Kree secret cells.
Yeah.
And then they jump right into the scene. I'm like, wait, the Kree secret cells?
Kree secret cells.
What are you talking about? Kree secret cells. Uh-huh. So then the final scene is Maria and Fury driving. She changes into a Kree. He changes into
fucking Ben Mendelsohn.
Ben Mendelsohn. Talos is back, baby.
The Bendelsohn's back, baby.
Bendelsohn is back. Hashtag the Bendelsohn's back, baby. And so he's like, he calls Nick Fury.
And he's like, yo, bro. He's like, yo, we did what you asked, but this is some bullshit. You need to come back. And then Nick Fury's like, well, I just need to walk around this spaceport in my Earth pajamas real quick and be like, yo, bitches, where are my shoes?
Yeah. So he's like, we did what you said. And it started out okay, but the thing was, it went off the rails. Yeah. And
he's like, you should really come back.
You should come back. Fury doesn't respond, just hangs up. It looks like he's on the beach.
Yeah.
But the screen shuts off. He's just looking at the screen. And he's, like I said, he's on a Kree ship, a giant Kree ship.
No, or scroll
spaceport.
Ship.
Scroll, thank you. Scroll ship, spaceport. The fuck going on out here, guys? And he's like, where are my shoes? And then that's us.
So he's really in space.
He's in space.
Yeah.
He's in space.
Yeah.
And Maria Hill is being in space too. Because she's being doubled up. So what's going on, Drew? What? Pause it. Use this for some pausing. Use your Marvel knowledge.
So that's fine. He's in space. So if between Kree secret cells and Fury with the Skrulls, we could always have the Kree Skrull War. That could be fun. And that has a fun way to introduce other interplanetary beings, you know, the Celestials, mm-hmm. Adam Strange. We can reboot mm-hmm. the Silver Surfer, Galactus. We can get into reboot the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
You know, we can, if we bring the Shi'ar Empire
yeah.
in during the space battle, mm-hmm. then we can tie the X-Men into that. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's...
So it's just trying to keep it open galactically in a way with other races and species to be able to introduce all this galactic stuff.
They're basically saying they can do anything.
We're doing anything. Like, hey, so does that mean the multiverse doesn't exist then? Mysterio lied about it? It's all fake. There's no multiverse.
According to... If Mysterio is a fraud, then yes, the multiverse doesn't exist. Or does it?
Or does it? It still can.
Yeah.
But he's a fraud.
I mean, it does in the comics,
yeah.
So...
Yeah. Earth 616 and all that, those are real comic book-derived things.
I'm sure they'll all, like, talk about all that stuff in a way, eventually, to bring all of the MCU together. They'll probably show clips of fucking Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, be like, yo, this is Spider-Man from Earth, whatever, whatever, whatever. He was a douchebag. They can do stuff because that's how they got it out in the comic books.
Yeah.
All the weird, you know, they finally ran out of plots, so they had to get alternate universes so they could have more plot work.
You got to get alternate plots from alternate universes into this universe.
Yeah.
That's the way it
works. Well, that and when stuff fails, it's an easy way to write stuff off. Like, oh, this was all a dream that Spider-Man had.
This is all a dream. I used to read Mad Magazine.
Exactly.
Which
is going, man.
Yeah. What's that?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Let me worry. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I am worrying now.
It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to worry. I haven't read Mad Magazine in so long.
Me neither, but it's still good to know that it's out there.
Part of the problem. Yeah. Stop buying it.
I mean, but sir, what other work is Sergio Aragonés doing?
Is he still alive?
I mean...
I bet you he's dead. He's been dead for years.
I'm sure.
He died in the 70s. They've just been using his corpse hand to... Ooh, Zombie Iron Man was fun.
Zombie Iron Man was fun.
Zombie Iron Man was fun. Come up out of the grave. Yep. That was cool.
That's different Marvel Zombies.
And that's funny.
It's a nod to other comics.
They call those Easter eggs now. Mm-hmm. Everything. If it's any so detail stupid. Taken from anything, it is now an official Easter egg.
Lame.
Yeah, it's stupid. Yeah, man. I thought it was a pretty good movie. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it, too. I like the implications for the Marvel Universe.
Sure. It's going to be... looking forward to seeing where they're going direction-wise with... man,
everything. I
mean, Doctor Strange 2, Black Panther 2, Guardians of the Galaxy 3...
4.
4, most likely. And Professor Hulk versus the Cyclops. That's what I'm hoping for.
Cool.
Smart Cyclops.
I'm cool with that.
All right. Anything we're missing? I'm trying to think. We just saw this thing.
I mean, I'm sure there's some stuff we're missing.
It's a little long. It's over 2 hours. It's a bit of a long movie.
I think we glazed over everything nicely.
We did glaze over it pretty well. I like Flash Thompson's Instagram account is Spidey number one fan, something like that. He really likes Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I wonder how he feels knowing that Peter Parker's Spider-Man now.
Oh, man, that's going to fuck with his head. Poor Flash. Poor Flash Thompson. All right. Well, that's it for Spider-Man Far From Home.
Oh, I do like how Happy's picking up Iron Man's sloppy seconds.
Yeah.
With Aunt May.
Hell yeah, you get that. Well, I mean, Tony Stark never really got in there.
This is Tony Stark. This is fucking Iron Man, dude.
Yeah,
come on.
I know. He never really. I mean, there's no evidence. They were flirting, but I don't know if he really got in there. But, they full on had a summer fun.
Mm-hmm.
That, Happy would like for it to grow into something.
I'm sure.
But Aunt May seems like she's fine with her independence.
Well, she's a modern Aunt May.
She's a modern Aunt May. She's a strong, independent woman running a volunteer campaign. Yeah, I like her. They should turn her more into the Spider-Verse Aunt May, the Lily Tomlin Aunt May. That's like, I made these for you. I'm a genius as well.
Ha ha ha.
Wait, what? It runs in the family. It's a Parker thing.
Yep.
All right, there we go. That's the end. That's been an hour. We did a full hour on Spider-Man.
Cool.
Not bad.
Yeah.
All right. Feel pretty good about that one. All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed it, and peace.
PFT Media Production.